Good morning, everyone. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
Two and one, two, three, four, and.
Good morning and blessings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who unites us in love as a family. So also, happy Mother's Day, because every one of us had a mother. You'll hear more about it because the kids are going to do a poem and the choir is going to sing, and we just want to celebrate our unity as a family today. When you came in, I hope you got this little sheet of paper, which is kind of a bulletin. It tells you what's going on in the life of this church. There's a lot going on, so please take it home, put it on your refrigerator, study it. There'll be a test next Sunday. Just a little quiz, Susan. Anyway, also, next week, the Backpack Ministry does amazing things for kids at Thornton and Wonky. And Karen told me next Sunday they're going to focus on creating boxes for the children that they support. This is for to have food for these kids when they go home. And they'll make boxes with food in it. And there's still a sign-up sheet in the Narthex, which tells us what you need, so we could sign up and bring. This is an amazing ministry put on for these children that they care for. How many children do you serve?
We have
43
right now.
Please join us if you can help and be part of that ministry. It's exciting what you do, and we pray God's blessings upon you and on that ministry. Also, we have a tree that's coming down next week. For anyone who has meetings here in the church on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday at the Park Building, we're asking you to put those away for that week, because the company's going to come and park all their trucks and it would be difficult for you to get in and out of. It's not that it's not safe, but there's a lot that's going to be going on right around the park building Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as they remove that tree that is over the park building. So just want to give you that heads up. So now I think, Paul, are we ready to start worship? Then why don't you come introduce yourself and let's begin our time of worship together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Paul Vinton. I'm your lay leader today. Just wonderful to see all you people today and wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. Our scripture reading today is from Ephesians 4, 2 to 3 verses. I will be rereading from the New Century Version. You may find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1066. Listen now for the word of God. Always be humble, gentle, and patient, accepting each other in love. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather here today in your holy presence, a family of believers united by your love. We come with hearts open to your word, our spirits yearning for your guidance, and minds seeking your truth. We stand together on the foundation of your grace and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge our shortcomings and imperfections, yet find hope in your forgiveness and everlasting love. Open our ears to hear your message, soften our hearts to receive your blessings, and ignite our spirits to carry your light into the world. May this worship service be a renewal of our faith, a strengthening of our bonds as a church family, and a source of inspiration for our journeys ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Before I call the children forward, I would like to take a moment to talk about mamas in the life of the church. Because on Mother's Day, we tend to celebrate the women who have given birth and who have raised us individually. But when we're talking about Christ's family, every woman plays the role of mother in God's family. Jesus tells us, as Pastor Cheryl will say later on, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, if you follow logic, we're all mothers and fathers, also raising the next generation. And so today we want to celebrate all mamas in the life of the church, from the aunties who are here to support us when we walk in the door and check in on us and make sure we're okay, to the grandmas who make sure that we are always fed, because I know you, and you are always giving me food. I love you. And the Sunday school teachers who are here to teach us, the teachers who guide us and encourage our creativity, Miss Brock, I see you. We all play the role of mama, and we are all raising the next generation. And so today, the children's ministry is going to come forward, and we're going to say a prayer to recognize all of our church mamas here at the church. Come on up, kiddos. So we have kiddos who have practiced it before, and those of you who haven't practiced it, the word's right here, so just follow along, okay? Are you guys ready? Maybe. Are we excited? Yay, moms! Okay, cool. Ready?
I say a Mother's Day prayer for you to thank the Lord above for blessing me with a lifetime of your tender-hearted love. I thank God for the caring you've shown me through the years, for the closeness you've enjoyed in times of laughter and of tears. And so I thank you from the heart for all you've done for me, and
say happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Thank you, kiddos. We're going to go ahead and exit out the back for Spark Worship, and then we will be back down to see our seniors recognized today.
Thank you, Jesse. That was a beautiful poem prayer. Well said. And big words. Every week, our prayer team prays over all the prayers that you write. So if you are new to our community, One side of this Connect card tells us information about you. The other side is reserved for prayers. So if you have any prayer needs, if you'll just fill that out and put it in the offering plate as it comes by, our prayer team meets, and we meet monthly, we pray weekly, and we pray for our city, our state, our country, the world. We pray for each one of you individually by name. If we know your name, we pray for you. If we don't know your name, we're still praying for you. And we're praying God's blessings on you. We're praying that God will work in your life and bring you blessings of peace. And each week as we pray through that, we actually do have a list of names of all the people who are connected with the church, and we review that list. So if you're a guest and you want to be prayed for, make sure we get you put on that list. And don't forget to put addresses on this card too, because if you have someone you would like us to pray for, we have a prayer card writing ministry team that is phenomenal and really helps us feel God. There's a couple folks here like Libby Taylor who hand does art on the cards. If you get a card from her, she's drawn it or written it or painted it with her heart. And if you get one from Susan, she has prayed over that card. It's such a blessing. So if you need a blessing or somebody you know or love does, give us their address. We'll send them a card. Okay? Let us now go before God in the silence of our hearts for just a moment that we might center. Put aside anything that is distracting you, that we might be unified in Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you, bowing our heads and hearts, seeking your mercy and care for our city, state, country, and the world. We pray together for peace and understanding, and a sense of calm to prevail over our colleges and universities. And we ask, O Lord, for the protest to come to an end. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for our neighbors who feel hopeless, afraid, and struggle in life, that together we will all find new life in Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray, O Lord, for all who experience hunger and other needs, that they might find resources and food to thrive. Lord, hear our prayers. And we pray for those suffering the consequences of natural disasters, that they might find strength in the Lord to overcome every adversity. Lord, hear our prayers. And we pray, O Lord, for all who are affected by violence everywhere, that they will find shelter in thee, Lord Jesus Christ, through your love and compassion. Lord, hear our prayers. And we pray, O God, that you might direct our steps and bless the work of our government officials. Lord, hear our prayers. And we pray for each person who's part of our church family. Lord, hear our prayers. And now, O God, please hear our prayers as we together pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's your quiz question for today. What holiday is bigger than Valentine's Day, yet smaller than Thanksgiving and Christmas? And rivals the world in spending to the tune of some $35.7 billion. You guessed it. It's Mother's Day. That was too easy. I feel like Oprah. You win. You win. You win. Maybe somebody will be nice to you today on Mother's Day. Mother's Day happens to be a secular holiday where we express our love and our gratitude and our appreciation for mothers everywhere. Usually we do that through the giving of gifts. So if you haven't given your gifts yet, You can do anything to bless your mom and please your mom. Some people get gift cards. Some will get flowers. Some get jewelry. Some get clothing. Some get spa treatments. Some get gift baskets. Some get home goods. Others get dinners and vacations. You got to kick it up, Andrew. Got to kick it up a little bit. But Mother's Day doesn't have to be about giving expensive gifts. Every year, I'm expecting expensive gifts. I don't get them. And every year, my husband says, "You're not my mother." Of which I give thanks. We can express our love and appreciation in other ways. We really can. We can just be nice to our mom, call them, or go visit them, or make a meal for them. Or even homemade gifts are the best. I still have many of those gifts that my kids made in school, don't you? Yeah, I just tucked them away in a box so that I'd have them. Here's the thing, mothers. I think it was Roy Baldwin who preached when you're on Mother's Day. Was it you, Roy? And you said, everybody has a mother. So we can celebrate mothers together because all mothers work hard and some work hardly at all. Some mothers didn't do such a great job raising us. Some mothers have done a wonderful job with their family and their extended family. And that's why this day is so difficult to celebrate at church, right? Let's say just a brief prayer again for the mothers. I'm going to pray for them right now. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, source of love and compassion, today we turn our hearts toward mothers. We lift them up in gratitude. We thank you for the mothers who showered us with love and nurtured us through our stumbles and cheered our triumphs, for their endless patience, fierce protectiveness, and unwavering support. We offer our deepest thanks. We also acknowledge the mothers who fell short, those who may have struggled to provide, to connect, those who may have caused pain and disappointment. For the wounds they may have inflicted, we plead, O Lord, for healing. Grant them forgiveness and the chance to find peace within themselves. For all mothers, good and not so good, we ask your grace. Grant them strength, wisdom, and love on their journeys. And may they know your love surrounds them and that they are worthy of your compassion. We ask you, loving God, to bless mothers who are no longer with us. Hold them close in your loving embrace and grant us comfort in the memories that we hold dear. Grant that we as children be filled with understanding and the ability to forgive. Guide us to show love and appreciation in whatever ways feels right to our unique relationships. This we offer in our prayer to you in your holy name. Amen. Yeah, Mother's Day. It can be hard for so many people, for those of us who no longer have mothers here on earth to celebrate with us. We turn to our church family. We turn to those who have become our mothers in the faith. Isn't that true? Women who have led us and inspired us and have lifted this community of faith. I can name a dozen women right here. I can point you out. I'd have to do this and use all my toes. The women in this church who have been for me spiritual mothers to provide prayers and love and support. And I am so grateful for every one of you who have mothered me and for all that you have provided your mothership with. We give thanks to you for your role in this family to build strong relationships. These spiritual mothers have helped us have godly relationships that are fostered by the words that Paul spoke from Ephesians. It's kind of funny to me today because Paul spoke them and Paul the Apostle wrote them. So I'll let you decide for the words that we heard from Paul this morning. He said that we as family should be humble, gentle, and patient, accepting each other in love. We're reminded that we're joined together with peace through the Spirit, and we should make every effort to continue in this way. What a beautiful reminder of what it means to be united as family as we build strong and loving relationships. The Bible has a lot to say about families. It has a lot to say about unity in peace and in love. In our world, it's full of trouble. Our world is full of toil. And there's not always a lot of good that we can rely on, but we can trust our family. Whether it's your blood family or whether it's your church family, God has directed us on how we might build unity within our families. In Colossians, we're going to read from that right now. If you want to open your pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1074. I love the floors. They're right here on the front row. I love to watch them every Sunday because they pull out their phone. They're not playing pool like my husband does. No, they're pulling up scripture. And when you pull it up on your phone, you can pick whatever version that you want to. What version do you use? I'm using the New Century Version today. I love that. So pull your phone up, or if you want to read the New Revised Standard Version, that's in your pew Bible on page 1074. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Let us listen now for a word from God. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you, so you should always clothe yourself with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other. For if someone does wrong to you, forgive that person, because the Lord forgave you. Even more than all this, clothe yourself in love. Love is what holds it all together in perfect unity. This is the word of God for the people of God. Isn't that a beautiful rendering of what and who we are as family and how to treat one another? I wonder if you've ever been to a family gathering or a family reunion when all of a sudden things turn tense. Yeah? Have you? It can happen at any family get-together. And because as soon as you're together, if it's more than 10 minutes, chances are good that there's going to feel some tension and you're going to start seeing the feuds that family members have, deep-seated family rifts, unresolved conflicts come to a head, creating tension and even, in some families, open hostility. I'm getting a little nervous and tense just thinking about the holidays coming up in October, November, when we sit together with the family at the table. Anybody else nervous about that? Because I know I have family members that have different political ideas than I do, and we have disagreements. And then sometimes we also have heated conversations, okay, arguments. And quickly, that situation turns from unity to disunity. And quickly, a beautiful family gathering turns toxic. Does this only happen in my family? Thank you. I was feeling a little alone. You know what I mean. For some of us, it's really hard. It's hard to find unity and love and peace in our own family, especially within our own family. And sometimes I even find myself thinking, if these people weren't related to me, I would not even be at the table with them. Yeah, okay. I'll see a couple of hallelujahs back there. And yet we keep hoping. And yet we keep trying. I mean, who doesn't want to live in unity and peace? Who doesn't want to connect deeply with our family members? And guess what? Disunity can also happen in the church family, just like regular family, with all the negative effects on each member and the overall community. Disunity in the church hinders ministry because we achieve through teamwork and shared vision. That's what God has called us out to do. God has given us a shared mission, but disagreements and conflicts can make it really hard. It's hard to lead an outreach program when people are reaching out in anger. It's hard to even design worship, host church activities. Disunity comes part and parcel with hurt feelings, and it hinders our spiritual growth. So if you're not growing spiritually, you might want to take a look inside and see what is disunity inside yourself. And are you following what God told us to do, that Paul told us today in two separate scriptures? Thank you, Paul, and thank you, other Paul. Because in church, these disagreements, this disunity often turns into arguments or gossip, and it makes the church a harmful place and inhospitable. And then you wonder why nobody wants to come to church. Anybody here been called a hypocrite? Okay, like every Sunday, my kids say, "Oh, Mom, you're a hypocrite." I'm like, no, I'm really trying to love. And that's the difference with church people and non-church people. We keep trying, right? We come to church so we can love, so we can learn to be more open and loving and be more like Jesus. But when we don't, the church pushes people away. And it leads us to shake our fist. It leads some people to not even have faith in Jesus Christ, because if they see how we're acting in the church, they think, why would I want to do that? I can just go to a family reunion. Disunity in the church prevents us from reaching out to others in love and faith, and we fracture our congregation. And maybe that is why the Bible stresses unity within the family, especially within the unity of the family of God. We are called to be united, which is kind of perfect that that's in our name as United Methodists, right? And you might remember a time in the Bible where Jesus was speaking to his family members. We find it in Matthew chapter 12, around 48, 49. This is a weird story because Jesus is hanging out with his disciples when his mother and brothers come to the door. You remember this story? His mother and brothers come. We don't really know why, but they want to speak with Jesus. And Jesus was notified, hey, your mom and brothers are out here, Jesus. And this is how Jesus responded. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And then he looked at his disciples and he said, here is my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. See, Jesus himself emphasized the importance of following God's will even over our earthly relationships. And Jesus himself, in the saying of this, made us family. Do you understand that? He made you his brother, his sister, his mother. You are united with Christ, and you are part of the family of God. And the church is a family because Jesus Christ made a place for all of us to belong. I love that about Jesus, don't you? This is good news. Y'all don't look that happy. This is good news that you are related. We are mothers and sisters and brothers of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus loves us. And Jesus wants those he loved to be safe and to find a sense of security in the unity they have with him and each other and with God. And to that I say hallelujah. Today, the church continues to be a place of shared community in hospitality, in unity, in peace, and in love, helping us to grow spiritually. The church is made up of people who call Jesus their Lord, and he calls us his brothers and his sisters and his mothers, making us family. And we as believers are called to be part of a church family in a spiritual community. And we are called by God then to be hospitable. That means nice to one another, care for each other, watching out for the good of another. We are called to be welcoming. We are called to create a space of safety, a place where you can come, and then we do no harm. Remember those admonitions from our own John Wesley? There are three rules for Methodist. First one is, yeah, I knew you knew that, do no harm. The second one is, do all the good you can do. And the third one is to attend to the ordinance of God, which is holy conferencing and prayer and meditation and Bible study. That's all it takes for us to be part of the family of God. I remember when I was a little girl, my mom would drop us off at church. We went to Bay Avenue United Methodist Church in Oklahoma City. I think I was in second or third grade. And she had five children. Her husband, my dad, was off traveling, so he wasn't there most of the time. And on Sunday morning, she knew that the church would care for her children, and she would pull up to that door, drop us all off, and then she would leave to go home. She probably took a Calgon moment. I don't know. Now, if somebody did that here, Jesse would be calling them. Hey, you left your kids. They didn't do that. You know what they did at May Avenue United Methodist Church in Oklahoma City back in the 70s? They loved me. They became my spiritual mothers and fathers. They let me run all over that church. I think I told you before, it was where I had my first cup of coffee. Okay, this much milk, this much coffee. And ate all their donuts, because they always had donuts. We've fallen behind, church. We don't have donuts here. But that's where I learned about love and family. Where did you learn about the family of God? Who loved you and kept letting you come and learn and grow in grace? That's what we do as the family of God, because United Methodist people are filled with the love of God and a passion for Christian maturity, always willing to make room for others and always willing to reflect on our own behavior and improve it where we fall short. And brothers and sisters, I fall short every single day. It is but by the grace of God that I can stand up before you and not get hit by lightning talking about the Lord our Savior. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God. And yet, God loves us. And God has provided this safe place, this family, for us to continue to grow and learn about Christ and each other. We love God and we love each other as Jesus taught. Love is the foremost foundational thing about the people called United Methodist. Whether we agree or disagree, we are still family. We still come to the table. And that is another thing that drew me to the United Methodist Church, is that we're thinking people. I don't get to tell you what to think. We think that you can read the Bible and use experience and reason and tradition and scripture to inform how you live your life. Isn't that awesome? I mean, sometimes I do want to tell you how to live, okay? I'm a mother. But we don't. Because we think God has given you what you need in your head and your heart to follow and believe. And we have always put our number one priority on the grace of God. See, this family leads with grace and not condemnation. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. This family leads with grace and not condemnation. As a matter of fact, we should be opening the door saying all those who feel condemned, unworthy, invaluable. We welcome you because we believe that you're valued and loved. And we're not going to argue with you about that because we believe in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to remember that the Bible does not portray the church, however, as a utopian kind of environment without conflict, okay? Nearly every day when I pull up my news feed, on my phone or elsewhere, I see negative things, derogatory comments about the United Methodist Church. It's true. And you can't avoid it if you look on your smartphone or turn your TV on. Nearly every day I see something, because there are groups and there are individuals whose sole purpose is to criticize the church. Seems like there's a whole lot of people who find energy and purpose in criticizing us. They like to spend all their time critiquing and undermining the church. But fighting others only alienates people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we can only respond in love. Fighting within the family of God, it's distracting. It distracts us from our main purpose. Do you know what our main purpose is? We say it every week in our mission statement. To make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of this community and the world. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if we're fighting each other or other Christians, we're not making disciples. And so I ask you to look into your own heart and decide, am I a disciple maker or am I a disciple breaker? Instead, we are called to love. Following Christ's commandment, we love one another even when it's difficult. I don't know about you, but I have children. Two of them. I'm not going to tell you how old they are, because Margie Barker said she lies about how old her children are. That way you don't know how old I am. I have two young sons. It's relative. And there are times when I make them mad. And there are times when they make me mad. But I have never stopped loving them. And that's the kind of God we have, that loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you'll do. God loves you with that mothering, fathering kind of love. And that is a hallmark of our faith in our family. That's who we are. That's the kind of love in following Christ that we have. Love is the binding force that brings all these other qualities that Paul and the Apostle Paul talked about. And we're called to forgiveness. Anybody need that? Like all the time? Thank you for being honest, Samuel. Because we foul up. Nothing is more powerful than when you make a mistake and you go to that person and you say, I am sorry. That is transformational. I think God knew that, right? And he sent Christ so that we would be forgiven. Extend that forgiveness to others. Let go of past hurts and offenses and move towards fellowship. The Bible tells us that we should be willing to put aside all that personal preference because we're supposed to be humble. I think most of us are Americans first, believers second, because Americans are not humble people. Can I say that, Nancy? Because I've been I've been overseas, and I've stood in line, and Americans don't like to stand in line. Americans don't like to be told what to do. We are independent cuss. But I will tell you, Christians should be humble. And that means we got to put aside even our national identity. We put aside all our identity and privilege to honor Christ. We are called to be humble. We've got to be able to put aside our personal preference for the sake of the greater good of the church. And I have not seen a lot of that happening. We want our preference. Because obviously that's what God meant, right, Sharon? Me and God were simpatico. So you need to do what I say, my preference. You got it. We are called to be patient and understanding, because achieving unity is a journey. It's not a destination. And while our unity might be elusive, there are ways we can help people to be more Christ-like and be more loving. And these qualities were called up in Ephesians and in Colossians, that will strengthen the family, strengthen our relationships, instruct us on how to approach others with compassion and kindness and humility and patience and love. And by practicing these qualities, we can work toward a peaceful and unified bond within the church and really within any of your relationships. If you practice what the Bible tells us and teaches us, you will have such an amazing life. Who doesn't want that? Today, it is my deep heartfelt prayer that we will continue to move together in unity and love in our lives, in our hearts, in God's love. It is my deep prayer of love for each of us. And so it kind of reminded me of a song that you might know. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it. It's called Imagine. Imagine all the people. It's easy if you try, as John Lennon eloquently put it. Imagine all the lonely souls just searching for a light. Imagine hearts that yearn to feel a connection in the night. Imagine there are no more walls to climb or borders to divide. A world where kindness takes the lead and compassion is our guide. Imagine all the helping hands reaching out to mend. A tapestry of unity where differences transcend. Imagine all the wasted dreams, the potential gone astray. Imagine if we cared enough to heal the world today. Imagine no more wars to fight, no weapons to ignite. A world where peace becomes the song and justice shines so bright. Imagine all the loving world replacing angry cries. A symphony of understanding beneath clear and open skies. John Lennon sang this song before. A dream we hold so dear. A world where love is all we need to conquer every fear. Imagine. Imagine no more empty chairs at a table set for peace. Imagine all the laughter shared where conflict finds release. Imagine all the voices raised in harmony and grace. A world reborn, a brand new start, a brighter, kinder place. Imagine. Imagine. Imagine with all your might, this world could be a garden green bathed in love's eternal light. May our imaginings become a powerful tool to help us step forward in turning our dreams into reality, turning all disunity into unity. And this is my prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 Why do I give to the church? I find that giving is much, much more rewarding than receiving. And I want to further the word of God to the neighborhoods. That's why I give. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering? Please stand in body or spirit for the singing of the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather today as your family, united in love and faith. We come with grateful hearts, acknowledging all the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We offer these gifts not just as financial contributions, but as acts of faithful stewardship. May these offerings be a symbol of our commitment to your work in this world. Bless them and use them to spread your love, compassion, and support to those in need. Guide us to be generous givers, just as you are our generous God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Be seated.
Please be seated. I would like to invite Jack Campbell and Judy Lynn to come forward, please. as we going to recognize the graduating seniors.
I would like to thank Pastor Cheryl for giving me this honor to present the scholarships to our seniors. And I want to thank her for wearing green. And I think she has yellow somewhere. Those are the, well, on your little microphone happens to be yellow. And those are the colors for the carnival. And next, I'd like to explain why I'm having to sit for the presentation. I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis, arthritis, which means I can't stand for long periods of time or walk great distances without losing my breath. So if you'll pardon me, I'm going to make the presentation sitting. And I'd like to thank Mr. Jack.
He's over here.
Mr. Jack and Miss Jessie for helping me do this. But before I do that, I would like for anybody who had anything to do with Carnival during the time that my deceased husband and I were chairman, would you please stand and be recognized, because it was a tremendous job. So stand up if you had anything to do with that. I can't name all the people, but God love you and God bless you for helping that. And as a result of that, we have some money that we are able to present scholarships to our seniors. And at this time, I would like to ask the four seniors to come forward, and your parents. Andrew, Jason, Jessica, and Noah. These are our scholars.
Noah Herman.
Noah wore a tie, so come on.
And they were asked to fill out an application. I'm a little nervous, so y'all bear with me. They were asked to fill out an application and write an essay. And believe you me, they are deserving. They're scholarly. They all had tremendous GPAs. And they're going to tell you where they're going to school and what they're going to study. But first, I've shopped at HEB for 30 years. And I called and asked them to do it a special way, except my nephew ordered them instead of me. And so they're different. So what I'm going to do is present this one to Jessica. And I'm going to ask the other three gentlemen to come and select the one you want. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And before we do anything, Mr. Jack has some words to say.
Happy Mother's Day. What I'm here to do today is just to assist a little bit, the stagehand on the side. But what I wanted to tell you a little bit about was how the scholarships came about. Many of you may not know that Carnival started in 1966. I don't think that Helotes Hills was part of it in 1966. It was pretty much sponsored by Flores Country Store. But soon afterwards, not sure the beginning year, Helotes Hills United Methodist Church started to attend Carnival. And when my wife, Chris, and I joined the church, we were invited to help out, sign up for a time block. And we had some folks that helped manage us and keep us straight. They were Ken and Judy Lynn. The job they had to do was first find us a location, and boy, we got the premier location. We got the location that had a roof on it. That was a big deal. We got the location that had a fan. That was a big deal. We got the location that had a refrigerator with electricity, and that was a big deal. And the location itself was right on, pretty much on a corner. So everything, they arranged that real well. The next thing that they did was they always made sure that we had the supplies that we needed. The supplies were down to aluminum foil and napkins and the cash box and the chicken that we made. We sold chicken fajitas most of the time. And they all made sure we had the secret sauce, soy sauce, low sodium. anyway, they did this thing, and it was kind of behind the scenes. And the other thing was they showed up all the time to help each group. Now, we signed up for two-hour blocks, but a new group came in every 2 hours. And they showed up pretty much at every two-hour block to give people instructions and encourage them and that sort of thing. And they did this for over 20 years. My understanding is it got to be where they had to be here all the time, so they rented a motel room over at La Quinta. And they stayed the nights over there so that they could do the tests that were needed, sometimes up to 2 in the morning washing aprons. Anyway, this scholarship is rightly and justly named the Judy and Ken Lynn Educational Scholarship. Thank you.
I would be remiss if I did not give credit to my deceased husband, who died in 2020, but he was beside me for the 22 years that we were chairman. So may he rest in peace. And at this time, we're going to call forward Andrew Fitzpatrick. Would you tell us where you're going to school?
Yes, ma'am.
And what you're going to study?
I'm going to Northwest Vista, and I'm going to be studying criminal justice.
All right. Noah?
I'm going to Texas A&M studying computer engineering.
All right. Jessica?
I'm going to Texas A&M and studying finance.
Ooh. And Jason?
I'm going to Northwest Vista. I'm studying accounting.
All right. Each of these scholars has been awarded a $500 scholarship based on the proceeds of our carnival work, and they're either already there or they will be taken there. I usually took them, Kenneth and I took them personally there. I don't know how that's gonna work, but they will be at the financial aid of the institution before they get there so that their studies will be paid for. So at this time, I just like to say thank you. All of these people, all of these four guys did much work at the service here at the church, not only there, but in the community as well. And the reason we're doing it now is because, and you guys need to make sure that you get your this announced at your when you graduate, that that's one of your scholarships that you've received, and that way the church will have its name out in public. Thank you very much, and thank you for being patient with me.
All right, before you guys go, I'm going to say a prayer for you, okay? Let us pray. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom, we are taught the way and truth. Bless Andrew Fitzpatrick, Noah Herman, Jessica Nunez, Jason Smith, as they now finish their course of study in high school. We thank you for those who taught them, who worked beside them, and for their family who supported them along the way. Walk with these graduates as they leave and move forward in life. Take away all their anxiety and confusion and grant them purpose. Strengthen their many talents and skills. Instill in them a confidence in the future of your plans, where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, please remind them to come back to church after they graduate, because we need them. And let all who agree say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, graduates and families. Well, what a great delight in the life of this church to celebrate your graduation and your movement forward into college life. We're here for you. We'll pray for you, and we pray that God will continue to guide you and your family, and we can't wait for those who come behind you to celebrate, right? So, as I said earlier, your church every Sunday says what our mission is, and it's just a reminder. It reminds us of who we are, whose we are, and what we're called to do out in the world. So would you join me in saying our mission statement? It appears up there like magic. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and our world. And I believe you can do it. I am so blessed by the many mothers in faith and fathers in faith and sisters and brothers in faith. And I will send you off every single week to do the will and work of God in unity, in love, and in peace. Amen?
Amen.
As we leave this place, go forth with this benediction. May the Lord our God bring us together in unity, peace, now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, all honor, all glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.